Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, so we're going to be reading from 1 Daniel 8 to 20. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you are in worse condition than the other youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in the flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them. And among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, or Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters that were in all of his kingdom.
Everybody turn to somebody next to you and tell them you are 10 times better. Awesome. Let's pray. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you. We thank you so much, Lord God, for your word, which is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and illuminate the scriptures for us this morning, especially as we dive deeply into our understanding as to how you desire to activate us in the excellent pathway that you've created for us. I pray, Lord, for an activation in the Holy Spirit, both from my mind and my mouth, and also to the hearts of the hearers, Lord God, whether online or in the building this morning, Lord God. Let this time be fruitful for your glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. I see quite a number of new faces in the house. Got to meet a couple of new people. Can we give it up for those who are here for the first time? I want to welcome you to Every Nation Brisbane. It is our honor to have you here at Every Nation Brisbane Central. We hope that you enjoy your time with us in the presence of God. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here, and I'm just really blessed that you would come and spend Sunday morning with us in the presence of God. We are going through a series called On the Job, where we're looking at God's design for how he might utilize us wherever he has called us to be, whether you're studying. How many of us are studying or at school or at uni or studying of some sort? Just lift your hand. Some of you aren't proud of that. Lift your hands up. So awesome. All right. Pray for these ones, because usually around this time of the year, we head towards exams and that sort of stuff. And so let's pray for us, to those of us who are studying, to do really well. How many of you have exams and final assignments coming up? Now your hands are desperately going up. Jesus, help us, right? All right. Pray for these ones. Okay. Keep them in prayer. For those of you who are working, don't worry, I won't get you to lift your hands. It's been a long week, might be tiring just lifting those hands, but I just really hope that wherever this meets you, and for those of you who are doing the most important job, which is parenting at home, I want to honor you too, because I really believe that this message is for us to help us to learn how to lead effectively where God has called us to lead. And we're going to look at the example of the person of Daniel. Again, this is just a foretaste. Next year, we're going to do an intense study around the book of Daniel from chapter 1 to chapter 7 of Daniel around the middle of the year. So I'm really excited for that. But let this be somewhat of a taste, because as we've been going through the different topics around On the Job, we've been talking about how important wherever you lead, it is to have a community of friends around you. We've been talking about integrity. We've been talking about generosity. And we've also been talking about, we're about to talk about excellence, the spirit of excellence. Can you turn to somebody and encourage them this morning? You are called to walk in the spirit of excellence. Okay. Well, let me ask you this morning, how many of you are familiar with the app or the website called Yelp? Any of you familiar with this app or website? Yelp I am. Dad joke. All right, so for those of you who aren't familiar with it, before there was Google reviews, there was an app called Yelp. And Yelp used to just focus on restaurants, but then slowly they started embracing all sorts of other experiences. And so basically it was a review system. And I believe that review system has gone into apps like Airbnb or Uber. You know, you don't generally go to one that has one-star reviews all the way through, right? So you look at Yelp, and basically what you would do is you'd look at the app and you would see whether a restaurant was good to eat at. I know we have a lot of foodies in the house, like David and Dory. I know Neil and Zohan. I love watching them on Instagram and just looking at the amazing restaurants that they eat at. So they are my Yelp reviews, right? Whenever I see Zohan post something, and then I always ask her, okay, is it good? My wife is plant-based with what she eats, so I always ask Zohan, you know, like, do they have good, like, vegan dishes and that sort of stuff? Not for me, because, you know, I'm redeemed. Worthy is the Lamb, hallelujah, all right? But, you know, like, and I'll often get advice from Zohan, and Zohan will say, yeah, or I'll ask David, because they'll post these succulent pictures on their Instagram, and I'll just be like, wow, that's as good as a Yelp review. But I found it funny, you know, like when you look at Yelp reviews to see some of the things that they would say. I've got a couple of examples here. I don't know if you can see them on the screen, so I can read them for you. This is a one-star review from Yelp, and it's speaking about a restaurant called Taco Santo, Saint Taco. The entire kitchen and wait staff saw an ice cream truck and ran outside, leaving me alone in the restaurant. 10 minutes later, they all came back in with ice cream cones. I still can't believe this actually happened. That's crazy. This one was a funny one. Gary, I don't know if this is a bad review or a good review. He says, don't try the pizza. It's so good you'll come back every day, and it completely ruined my social life because each night I want to go there. I only want to go there. I hate this place. I'm like, is that a good review or a bad review? This one I started singing along because this one is for a place called Kung Fu Dining. And it says here, and if you can read it, you can sing along. It says, everybody is Kung Fu Dining. The service is fast as lightning. Although the Xiaolong is a little unexciting. It's the review of the day that I'm writing. And so it goes on and on. This guy took a lot of effort and gave them a 4-star review. He deserves a 5-star review for his review. But I was going to ask you the question, like, if somebody gave you a Yelp review based around the excellence and how you were to excellent towards them and serving them, what would it say? You know, how do you make people feel when they're with you? And when you have the opportunity to serve with them, would they give you a whole song? Would they say, oh, it was amazing? Or would they say, oh, Nelly, you know, I was talking to you, but you ran after the ice cream truck? If we are made in the image of God, then how best do we reflect excellently that image? Now, when I consider this, that one of the names of God is El Elyon. And El Elyon in the Hebrew means God the Most High, or the Most High God, or the Most Excellent God. The Psalms talk about how excellent is your name in all the earth. And so we are made in the image of an excellent God. There is basically no idol. This is what it's saying, that name. There is no idol or created being that can even compare to being worshipped or exalted above the Lord, for he is superior in every way. How many of you believe that to be true this morning, right? 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 8 is an example of the name being used here. It helps the Bible readers to understand that he is God the Most High. So after the Philistines, they capture the Ark of the Covenant and they put it beside their idol. The idol's name is Dagon. They wake up in the morning and they see the idol Dagon toppled over. And then they put the idol back up. And then the next day, it's not only toppled over, but it's smashed completely. And it describes God as being El Elyon, or God the Most High. So when we consider this and that we are made in his image, how many of you know we are called to walk in a spirit of excellence. Can I get an amen from somebody who believes that this morning? All right, just making sure. Okay, so we're going to look at the specific example of Daniel from Scripture. And I'm going to reference Daniel chapter 5 and Daniel chapter 6 and various portions of Daniel, but we're always going to anchor in the passage that Jeremy read earlier. It says here in Daniel chapter 5, verse 12, because an excellent spirit, everybody say excellent spirit, an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems was found in Daniel, who the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. So Daniel had a specific path that he was called to. It was the interpretation of visions and dreams, but he was excellent at it. So when we carry the name of God, we are to be excellent in our work. How many of you know that to be true this morning, right? In Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because, and what? Excellent spirit. Everybody say excellent spirit. Excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So not only is he excellent in his work, but because an excellent spirit was in him, he became hugely influential over the what? The whole kingdom. God has called us to carry a spirit of excellence. Now, a theologian by the name of Daniel Parmar, he's also one of the heads of the Scripture Union in the United States. He talks about three levels of an excellent spirit based on Daniel. And so what I'm going to basically do is break down this outline, and I highly encourage you, if you are desiring to pursue a spirit of excellence in your life, please take notes, because I found in the preparation of this specific message, it really wrecked me for anything less than being excellent in what God has called me to do. And my prayer is that every single one of us would be activated under the understanding of carrying the excellent spirit in Jesus' name. So the level one, are you ready? Level one, you can pull your phone out. I trust you're not playing Candy Crush. You can actually take notes. It will be good. Good, it's gonna help you. Level one, you ready? Level one is standing out through sacrifice. Standing out through sacrifice. What does this mean? You have to stand out to be outstanding. If excellence is being outstanding, then you have to stand out through the way that you are sacrificial. And it begins by purposing in your heart or resolving in your heart. A decision needs to be made that takes you from a desire to actually walking in excellence. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the start of the passage that Jeremy read. Daniel resolved. Everybody say he resolved. Like he set his heart on it. He set his heart to do it. Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. This does not happen accidentally. Let me say this again. Excellence does not happen accidentally. It's a resolve. It's a decision to say, you know what? I choose to stand out. But it's dependent on whose glory belongs to the one who stands out. Are you standing out for your own sake, or are you standing out to the glory of God, right? To move in excellence starts with resolving in your heart to not defile yourself. Now, let me just describe for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul, the apostle, he writes about encouraging the church at Corinth that they're also called to run a race. And in the running of this race, he describes it like an Olympian, back an ancient Olympian, that they're to run the race with excellence. He uses that term, run the race marked out before you with excellence. Other words are described, used to describe it. But he talks about the way that runner runs with excellence is they cast off everything that hinders and they beat themselves into submission. Now, I know that the language can seem a little violent, but this is the nature of how you run in the Olympics. How many of you know, if you are going to be an Olympic runner like Usain Bolt, you cannot have a daily diet of KFC. I am sorry, Nico. His pet peeve is when KFC is closed, he told me that. But like, you know, that you just can't. Like, something has to be sacrificed in order for you to run a race with excellence, right? You know this, right? Like if you're after a gold medal in the Olympics, you have to cut certain things out of your schedule, out of your diet. And so what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27, he says, man runs for a perishable wreath or perishable medals. How much more should we value the treasure that we have in God and run this race with excellence? This should challenge us to step up and to make a decision, to resolve in our hearts to say, you know what? I am going to run with this excellent spirit in me because I am created in the image of the most excellent God. Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. And it's moving from the stage of I want to I will. Let me say that again. It's moving from this stage of I want to I will. There's a lot of good intentions, right? A lot of people, we're just a couple of months away now, a month and a half, I would say, well, a little over a month and a half, from good old New Year's Day. And that's usually when the gym gets packed, right? Because there's all those New Year's resolutions, resolving for at least 14 days, at least, I'd say, at least that when the free pass runs out at Good Life, you know, and then you have to resolve, because how many of you know, like, once the free pass runs out, then you have to resolve in yourself to actually integrate it into your budget to get a gym routine going. I used to love living in Singapore when, you know, like I wasn't really resolved in my fitness. So like, you know, when I'd start the year strong, the thing about I loved about living in Singapore is you have New Year's and then you have Chinese New Year, right? So if you don't make it in the Western New Year, it's kind of like, you go to the altar call before Chinese New Year, you sing, I exalt thee, but you change the lyrics, I am sorry. And then you go in Chinese New Year, okay, it's the year of the tiger. I'm going to have the eye of the tiger and I'm going to go back. And then you go get to Easter again, right? Then Easter comes and you go, I am sorry. Like that's not a genuine resolve in the spirit. How many of you know? Like excellence starts with saying, I don't just want, I will. It's change of mindset. It's making the decision. Some of us may have habits and things that are dragging us away from running this race called life with excellence. And it takes a Holy Spirit-empowered decision today to resolve in your heart to say, I don't just want to change, I will change by the power of the living God. You know, I used to have conversations with people. Like I used to be amazed. Like initially, I'd be amazed and then talk about, oh, Pastor Nelly, you know, I'm moving from I want to I will. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And then I talk to them, you know what, it's going to start with a 40-day fast. And I'll be amazed, you know. 40-day fast, that sounds hard, right? Until I prodded further and then found that, you know, what they were actually fasting from. I'm going to actually start fasting from a show that I never really watched in the first place. Or I'm going to start fasting a social media account that I barely open. You know, like they make it easier upon themselves. And we are kidding ourselves, like when we fail to understand and we live in a generation sometimes that we love to just spread that everybody's a winner. But in order to stand out with excellence to the glory of God, there need to be sacrifices made. Moving from I want to I will. And we have a Savior who started his ministry with a 40-day fast because he knew that the weight of what he was about to carry required the weight of a sacrifice beforehand in order that he would be attuned to the power of the Holy Spirit and carrying out the will of God for his life. With great sacrifice comes great preparation for what he's about to carry. Daniel chapter 1, let's move forward. Verse 12, Daniel says to the king, test your servants for 10 days. Everybody say 10 days, because this is going to be important. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. Again, it's the grace of God that's carrying them amongst us, right? And then verse 18, at the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them, and among them, none of them was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter, every way, not just on the outward appearance, but in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 days sacrifice to be 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters in all his kingdom. Again, if you know you have a great calling, there's a great sacrifice that needs to be made in order to walk in that calling. And so Daniel and his friends recognized this, the price that needed to be paid. And if you know anything about Daniel, and again, next year we'll unpack this further. If you know anything about Daniel and his friends, they would endure huge persecution for the stance of their faith. But it wasn't just a weird stance of their faith. It was a stance in their faith that caused them to live excellently in the work that they did. So here's some of the markers of level one. Okay, if you're at level one, initially, when you make the decision to want to follow God with an excellent spirit, sometimes it might be harder to hear God at that point. So by developing and sacrificing everything that distracts you from hearing the voice of God, you begin to hear God a bit more clearer. Secondly, you don't really have a confidence, a strong confidence in your ability to discern whether it's God or not. And so this is the starting point. You're just starting. So you're just trying to develop your intimacy with God so that you can understand and discern his voice better, right? So you have a low confidence. And this can also be dangerous. For those of you, how many of you know that when you start on your journey with God, you begin to wrestle with things like, okay, did God really say this in Scripture? How many of you know that in Genesis chapter 3, the first sin that happens is when that is tested. Did God really say? So the importance of pursuing God's word to develop a strength around understanding what he's trying to say through his scriptures is really important at this stage. Thirdly, the need for external support. You need community. When you are new in the faith and you are new in pursuing an excellent spirit, please don't try to run this race on your own. Run with others. God's design is for all of us to be the church. He is coming back for a bride, not brides, right? And taking time to hear from God. And then you have influence, but it's not as strong. Like you have influence over individuals, but you'll notice that excellent spirit will carry you with even more influence as you begin to develop in the levels, which I now move towards level two, which is character and influence. Character and influence. Now the key word that you're going to find here is moving from a decision or a resolve to actual discipline. And what this looks like is moving from I want to I will to now I must. A consistent daily decision, right? To graduate to the next level means to apply discipline, moving from the place of intent, I want to decision, I will, and now to discipline, I must. See, the greater level of trust that we have in God to be consistent, even when times are hard, it's so vital, because there are going to be times when you aren't as strong in the faith, but if your preparation is not ready for those times, then it's easy for you to ride an emotional wave. And when the emotional experience of God is not there, when we're not in those pockets of moments where whether we've come off of a high from a church camp or a conference, and we don't have that high, you know, the worship isn't hitting like when you were in an arena with 30,000 other believers, and you know that band was there with $1 million production, you were feeling God. But now that you've got your bills that are on your bed where you've been crying, and it's like, where are you now, God? We've become so reliant on atmosphere creation that we fail to see the discipline that's necessary to see God even in the moments of trial. And so be careful. A consumerist approach towards Christianity will pursue whatever the next high is emotionally rather than anchoring yourself in understanding who God is in his presence. There's a difference between his presence and feeling the presence. There's a reason why when I look across this room and I see our young people, you know, I love when, you know, our young people have this experience of God and they come from, you know, like whether it's a youth event or a different camp or they heard this amazing speaker or this cool band and the light show was amazing and they have a genuine experience of who God is. And they experience him. And then at the same time, in the same token, you meet a 70-year-old who's gone through the struggles and the storms. And you see them worship in the same space. And you see the 17-year-old jumping up and down like super high. And it's just amazing, just the zeal and zest of which they worship. They're fully expressive. Then you see the 70-year-old, they're singing with all their heart, but they're not jumping as high. They're nowhere near as loud, nowhere near as gregarious. But both of them still carry that same fire within them. It's just one has seen that it's not necessary to have the same feeling of God's presence, but to understand that they've been anchored for years in God's presence, and their worship is still just as genuine. They still give all their hearts, all their souls, all their finances, all of their life to God because they know him to be the truth that sets them free. Be careful, Christian, that we don't fall into the trap of trying to just seek after experience, we have to climb an even higher mountain so we can put it on Instagram with a verse. We have to take a better coffee shot so that we can show everybody we did our devotions. We have to experience God through different events. If your Christianity is limited to this, you'll fail to mature when you go through trials. Like anchoring your faith through trials is so necessary. And that's what happens in the second stage. I must worship God. Even when it's hard, I will still praise him. This consistency and this discipline. Young people in the room today, whether you're in high school, your campus, or you're a young professional here, I can't encourage you enough to anchor your faith in Jesus now. Anchor in him. Beyond, like, please don't run towards, oh, I've got to attend another event, otherwise I won't be strong. No, you can anchor in him through your developing a lifestyle of worship and prayer and reading his scriptures for yourself and then bringing yourself into community, a community of believers that can help strengthen you. Attend a life group. Get involved in a life group. Get involved in here in this church. If you're visiting from another church, get involved in your local community of believers. But please, please, please don't anchor yourself in just experiencing at events. Consistency means that things will eventually look different. Things will eventually look differently if you consistently go at it. Again, coming back to the whole gym analogy, right? It's like that guy that goes to the gym, meets with a personal trainer after one session, and it's hard. But then they come home to their wife, and it's like, oh, can you see the changes? Can you see that? I'm not saying that happened to me. I'm just using this as a hypothetical example, all right? But it's consistency that's going to change and transform you. You will look excellent. There will be an increased influence. There's a reason why. You know, if you are a morbidly obese and you take up the career of a personal trainer, you will not necessarily have that much clientele because the advertising is not there for the taking, right? You'd probably ask where they eat. Because they obviously do it often. But when you see that there are changes, and I'm sorry that this might seem shallow to some of us, when you see that there is transformation in a person's life, you're like, I want that. I'll have what she's having, right? I'll do what they're doing because I can see there's a spirit of excellence upon that person. It moves from just visiting God's presence to abiding and remaining in his presence. To abide means to live in his presence. Do you live in his presence, in the presence of the Lord this morning? So how can we ensure that we live in his presence practically? Learning to wait upon him, not living a hurried lifestyle. Learning to pause and reflect. At the end of this month, we're releasing a new podcast that will help you to do this, like teaching you how to meditate on God's word by taking portions of scripture. We're going to go through the Advent series where we will actually, you know, release these podcasts that have scriptures based on the Advent, which will cause you to pause and listen for the voice of God, how he breathes through scripture. Meditation upon his word is so vital. That's how you abide in his presence. Praying. For those of your parents here, praying with your family, not just cheap, rushed prayers. Lord, thanks for the butter and thanks for the bread. They go well together, and so do we, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's not excellent prayer. Come on. Like, touch heaven, change earth. That's the sort of prayer you want to pray with your family. Modeling that for your kids. Sacrificing, obeying, being generous, giving. That's all a part of abiding in his presence. Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. What Daniel is doing here is he is confronting the king. Can you imagine this? The king of arguably the most powerful nation, Babylon, at that time on the planet, and Daniel, who works for the king, has the gall and the boldness to tell the king, you are in sin, and this is the reason why your prosperity won't come. How many of you know you better be abiding in God when you make that sort of statement? Otherwise, you are gone, right? But that's the level of excellence that Daniel walks in. There's a boldness that comes upon you that when you are called to confront, or when you are called to take bold steps. And I really believe, listen to me, everybody, I want you to catch this. I really believe that if you are going to embrace a spirit of excellence, you are going to be amazed at the people that God is going to bring you in front of. I'm talking kings, queens, prime ministers, presidents. That's the level God wants to call you into. I'm talking about the most influential people in your field of work. God is calling you to influence, but it takes carrying a spirit of excellence to be able to walk in that. Watch this change in Daniel chapter 9. This is Daniel here. I prayed to the Lord, my God, to make and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, again, El Elyon, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. So what you're seeing here is Daniel is taking responsibility as the leader or the spokesperson for God, but he also says, we as a nation have sinned. He doesn't say they have sinned. So he doesn't pull himself away, because he personally hasn't sinned, but he also recognizes, look, if I'm going to be the spokesperson for these people, I also need to recognize the sins of the nation. And so this is a part of the marker of somebody who walks at level two, is that their reactions are more controlled by the Spirit. They don't overreact. If you can tell an immature believer by the way that they react when they're under trial or they come up under conflict, they're reactionary. But when you are controlled by a spirit of excellence, you have room to pause. God gives you the grace to be able to communicate with a peaceful heart, with a gentle spirit. That's a spirit of excellence. Secondly, the perspective changes from just being focused on the temporal to focusing on the eternal. So there's an eternal nature towards what God is depositing in you. Like the way that you see the world, is it just focused on how you can make money for this life? Or are you focused on depositing into people that will outlast, so that your legacy will outlast you for generations to come? Because guess what? If God is building his church, it will outlast all of us. But if we are building our own empires rather than building the kingdom of God, we do not carry a spirit of excellence that God wants us to. Thirdly, discernment becomes easier and quicker. So in a sense, level one might have been hard for you to understand. Did God really say this? But as you've deepened your understanding of the Word of God, as you've deepened how you read the Scriptures, if you've deepened your prayer life, you begin to hear God a lot more clearer. It becomes a lot easier to discern His will for your life because you've matured into level two. And then fourthly, influence grows with the people around you. You're not just influential over a small group of individuals. God begins to increase your influence towards influencing the city, influencing your field of influence. Your name becomes a name that people can trust. When I think about your name, or when people think about your name, think about this for a moment. When people hear your name, what do they think of? Do they think of a spirit of excellence? It goes beyond just being skilled at something. You can be excellently skilled, but to carry a spirit of excellence will keep you there. A gifting will only get you to a certain point, but excellence in terms of a spirit of integrity will keep you at that place. So moving into this next level, level three, moves from I want to I will to I must to now I love. And what do I mean by that? You recognize it's not just the I thing, but you recognize that you are now a spokesperson for people. Your influence as the salt and light of the world, Matthew chapter 5, is now influential, and your heart begins to break for those you are influential around. For those of you who are managers or you hold a certain position, I pray that God will begin to enable your heart to break for the people you get to serve alongside, and whether they're clients or people that you serve, as well as your own workmates, that God would move you to a place from not just I must, but now I love the way He loves, which brings me to the final level. Y'all ready for this? Level three, favor and authority. Favor and authority. This is when you start to become responsible for larger groups of people, for literally nations, and this is that level. And this is the level that Daniel walked in. He went from I want to I will to I must to I love to I am. What do I mean by that? It becomes who you are completely. Daniel didn't just do excellent work. He embodied and personified excellence, the spirit of excellence. When people saw Daniel, they saw God in him. He carried that excellence well. There's a oneness with God where you don't know where Daniel begins and the Lord ends, because they're so one. They're so in tune with one another. It's like, if you remember, Moses would go into a tent of meeting and Joshua would be on the outside, and then he'd come out, and the Bible talks about him, whether it's in passages like Exodus 33 or when he was on Mount Sinai, Exodus 19, 20, and the following chapters, he would come down and there would be like this glow upon him. For those of you who've seen the movie The Last Dragon from the 80s, it's all about the glow. Like there was this supernatural glow upon him, that they could tell that he's been with God. There's a difference. People can see the difference. And church, that's my heart as your pastor, is that people can see the difference in you. That you carry the spirit of excellence so well that people are like, wow, there's something about you. There's something that you have. I've watched you go through storms. I've watched you go through mourning death in your family. I've watched you go through financial struggle, and still you carry this joy and this humility. I don't know what it is, and we know what it is. It's a spirit of excellence given to us by an excellent God, the Holy Spirit. And that's what causes this influence to happen. Here's the markers for level three. See, you don't just wait until God speaks, but you also become His spokesperson. Secondly, the speed and wisdom and discernment are at a super high level at this point, because you're so one with Him. It's like you already know what God is going to say. Have you ever been with somebody that, maybe you've got a friend, or for those of you who are married, they can already anticipate what you're going to say? Any of you have a friend or a spouse or a family member like that? You know, like that song from Frozen. I'm sorry to do this to you. Finish each other's sandwiches. You know, like you know what the person's going to say. Jinx, jinx again. Like you know what the person is going to say before they say it. Any of you have somebody like that in your life? And that's what it's like when you have that relationship with God. You know what he's going to say because you know his character so well. You know his scriptures so well. You know how to make wise decisions based off of that tightness in that relationship with God. And you move from an understanding of you just being his offspring to being his son or his daughter. You have that relationship with him. And you don't have to speak for yourself, but others will testify for you. Because you've got enough relational credibility and integrity that others will be your spokespeople. No, I know that person. I know them very well, and so I can speak for them because their character has been proven. Again, Daniel chapter 6. We're winding up here. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down and rescued him. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." So this Daniel, this is verse 28. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I love that even when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he had such influence over the king that the king was like, "Man, all the best. I know your God's going to rescue you." Like even though he wasn't a believer himself, because Daniel had such a oneness with God, it's almost like the king was like, I know, I just get a sense he's going to help you because I've seen you be so steadfast in your character. And out of that situation, he did not cower. And many of you might think that this just happened in ancient Babylon. But I'm here to tell you today, and I know some of my friends here in this room have lived in the Middle East, have lived in the Arabian Peninsula. I know of many stories of people within that region or people in restricted nations that have literally been challenged in terms of recanting their faith to say, hey, you want to live? Deny your God. But for them to joyously carry the presence of the excellent God, the spirit of excellence, and say, you can beat me with rods. You can wipe me out. But you will not wipe out the eternal life that I have in him. I am one with God. I have friends that live in these restricted nations that have taken that stance for God in prisons and been persecuted this way. I know this is like foreign for us, you know, as we live in cushy Australia, especially here in Brisbane. But there are so many people that are being persecuted for their faith, and they carry a level 3 sort of influence to the point where I am so steadfast in my conviction for God that I'm not going to let anything faze me. And what's happened is that many of these guards and people who are the persecutors actually come to faith because of the steadfast nature of how these people have stayed in their faith with a level 3 understanding of the spirit of excellence. The danger here in Australia is we become so attracted to the lifestyle that we have here that is so marshmallow cushy that we fail to see that God has called us to be steadfast. And therefore, we settle for lesser gods. I'm going to end with this analogy here. This analogy is not original with me. I actually heard it from Tim Keller. And Tim Keller tells the story of this woman who had a piece of jewelry that she got from her grandmother. And it was just on top of her boudoir, or whatever you call that thing, her drawers, right? In her bedroom. And it was just sitting there. And she's like, oh, well, you know, it's just been sitting here. I could do with a little bit of extra cash. So she takes this piece of jewelry that she got from her grandmother and takes it down to the jewelry store and presents it to man. The man is a middle-aged man. He's a jeweler and presents this piece of jewelry. And he looks at the piece of jewelry and he's like, he can't believe what he has in his hands. And so, again, I'm not a jeweler, so I don't know the terminology. He takes the eye thing. You know the eye thing that jewelers have? You all know what I'm talking about, the eye thing that they put in their eye and then they're able to inspect the jewel more properly. Some of you probably know it. what's it called? What's it called, Zion? You're the rock person. You don't know. Anyway, the eye thing, all right? Somebody tell me what it's called later. And he looks in, and inspects the jewel, and his eyes become so wide that the little monocle eye thing drops out of his eye. You know, it's like, he's like, wow. And then he takes an even bigger eye thing and puts it in his eye. By this time, it's like a Canon lens. And he puts it in his eye and tries to hold it in place to inspect it even further. And he's just like flabbergasted by what he's holding in his hands, the precious nature on it. Then he runs to the back. He says, hold on here. He runs to the back and does like a quick Google search and does a little bit of research. And again, he's like, all you can hear from the back room is like, wow, 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 wow. Comes back out to the lady who had the jewel that just hanging on the top of her drawers. And he says to her, this jewel, according to my research and inspection, is worth more than the entire catalog of jewelry that I've sold in this store for the last 25 years combined. This one jewel that you hold in your hands, it's super valuable. How many of you know that that granddaughter would have looked at things a little different because she understood the value of what she had on top of her drawer? And then she obviously would take it and value it differently. See, when we don't understand the value of our God and what he has instilled within us as a spirit of excellence that he invites us to walk in, we tuck our Christianity on top of the drawers. We don't carry the value of what God has done for us, what our Savior Jesus Christ has laid his life down for, the value of what Romans 8 says, you know, I've given you my son, what more can I give you? Like he has held ultimate value and hands that to us, and we would not even just, we'd see it as like, I want to, but I'd much rather hold on to my plastic piece of jewelry that is anything that this life has to offer us. Plastic level relationships, cubic zirconium, pursuit of career, like none of it has any eternal value. But the jewel of heaven looks at the value of what he gives to us today, and he says, carry the spirit of excellence, my son, my daughter. I'm inviting you into it. You are at a point of choice this morning. So this is for both of those of us who are followers of Jesus, but also those of us who aren't yet following him. He's inviting you. You can either continue to live the way that you live currently. And again, no judgment or condemnation from myself. I'm in pursuit of level 3 excellence in my own life. And I will continue to pursue it to the day that I embrace my Savior in glory. And that's the sort of church we want to be. In a nation that celebrates lesser gods, jewels that don't hold a candle to the value of what God offers us today, he says, come. He says, come, I have given you a spirit of excellence. See, we don't just abide in his presence, but we're now at level 3, we delight in his presence. Every day is an opportunity, an invitation, like that jeweler, to come into that place of wow, wow, God, you're amazing. Wow, you're so great. I hope you're catching what I'm saying, that every day you might say, I'm too busy to admire God this way. I'm here to tell you, you're too busy not to. Because to say you're too busy to pursue God in a level of depth is to say that, you know what, the things that I occupy, the 16 to 17 hours that I stay awake, are more valuable than pursuing the value of what God has deposited in us. That's the value of what God deposits in your heart today, eternally. So don't just abide in his presence because you have to, but delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. He invites us into this place. And there are going to be fiery furnaces in your own life. Maybe not literally, but figuratively. And there are going to be lion's dens. There are going to be hard times. That's what I love about Daniel, right? A lot of us would have just loved going on a little Daniel fasting, being 10 times better. But no, there are chapters that follow. There are trials. There are hardships. But when you carry the spirit of excellence, you carry the spirit of the one who will help you to endure. And I love how when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, they were so one with God that Jesus was there with them in the fire. He does not stay at a distance from your trials. He's there with you, walking through what you're called to walk through. So the question I ask you today is, what will it take for you to live this excellent life? Maybe it's starting from a place of decision and saying, you know what? I've been living in a place of just playing the religious game of coming to church on Sunday and just doing average. And God is saying, no, I'm calling you to greater things. I'm calling you to live a greater life. I'm calling you to carry a spirit of excellence. What level are you at today? Maybe you're at level zero. And that's okay. I mean, the invitation is to grow, right? Then today, if you're at level zero, today is the day that you can make a decision to follow Jesus, who's laid his life down most excellently for you to follow him. Maybe you're at level one, and your desire is to now make a declaration for your life, to not be lived accidentally, to make a decision to say, you know what, I'm sacrificing the things around me that distract me from his presence. Maybe you're at level two, and it's now making a decision to live more disciplined by the grace of God, to serve others and to grow in character. Maybe your desire is, you know what, and I believe this with all my heart, there are ones in this room that are called to live at level three, to be influencers of nations, not Instagram influencers, although that can be a way you influence, but I'm talking about real influence, you know, shaping nations. That I believe that with all my heart. Ian Youth, I believe that with all my heart for you high school students. All my campus students in here, God's called you to literally shape nations. And for all of us who are a bit more seasoned, there's a bit more salt with our pepper. He's called us to shape nations. And I will not give up as your pastor until I see all of us actually activated in everything that God has called us to live out in. See, level three is to become one with God through consistently deepening your intimacy with him and shaping the nations. This is the invitation, and I want to call us to whatever level God has called us to live in. I'm going to pray a prayer today, and even for those of you who are watching online, I want to pray a prayer that you would come and live out a more excellent life in all that God has for you, in whatever level he's calling you from today. So let's all bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, I thank you that you are the most excellent God. I thank you, Lord, that your heart for us, God, has been displayed in the way that your Son excellently laid his life down for us. God, I thank you that I get to walk as a brother to my brothers and sisters in this room and those who are watching online. Lord, you don't call us to live isolated. An excellent life requires us to walk in community. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to do this together. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to activate even further the revelation of just how excellent you are and how you call us to live out in this excellence, how you're calling us out of a state of mediocrity into a state of living excellently for your glory. I pray right now in Jesus' name for those of us who work with our hands, those of us who work with our mouths and our minds, those of us who work alongside people and give counsel, those of us who work with numbers, those of us who are working in schools or studying, that in Jesus' name, our excellence in our work would reflect your glory. I thank you, Lord, that study is also a form of worship. Lord, that the work of our hands on the Monday to Saturday is also worship. Lord, everything that we get to do is worship because you are worthy of the work of our hands, our hearts, our minds. Lord, this is what it means to love you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, Lord, you are calling us out of this state to walk into a level of out of mediocrity into excellence. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you this morning, I'm just going to pray for two groups of people. If you're here this morning and you are maybe at level zero and you recognize that God is calling you out of this level towards living an excellent life dedicated for Him. Basically, you are declaring that Jesus Christ, our excellent God, is your Lord. If that's your desire to give your whole life over to Him this morning, I want to pray for you specifically. If that's you, just lift your hands and surrender to Him so I know who I'm praying for this morning. God, I just pray for those ones who have their hands lifted, Lord God. I just pray, Lord, that as you've committed yourself to them, they freely commit themselves to you this morning. Lord, that you would enable them to walk, not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can dedicate our lives to you. And we thank you, Lord, that as you are our Lord, our King, the one who calls the shots, Lord, that we live in your presence and that your excellent Spirit will carry us through life and that we would shine for your glory. Lord, come be ours, fully ours. We, with lifted hands, are fully yours this morning in Jesus' name. For the rest of us, I just really want to pray for those of us who are saying, you know what, I'm at level one or level two, but I want to live this excellent life. I know God has not called me to just become distracted. I just sense by the Spirit of God even this morning that there's been many distractions. Like Jesus told Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing. I really believe that God has just, even through this message, begin to clarify a lane for you to run in. And He's beginning to show you this morning, man, I'm called to run this thing with excellence. Whether it's your vocation, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your singlehood, whether it's in the things that God has committed and called you to do. If that's you this morning and you saying, you know what, I will take an excellent stance for Him. The works of my hands, I will do excellently for His glory, that I may shine for His glory, not just the glory of my work, but my work will be worship to Him. If that's you this morning and your desire is to go to the next level of excellence, stand to your feet this morning because I want to pray for you as you take this outstanding stance for Him. Thank you, Jesus. Just a couple more seconds. Lord, even as I'm up here as well, Lord, I'm taking this stand as the pastor of this house as well to walk in the spirit of excellence. Lord, you see the hearts of those who are taking that stand this morning to say, we are walking with a spirit of excellence. Lord, we cast aside every compromise, Lord God, everything that's caused us to, Lord, even in line with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with endurance. Let us cast off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we take a stand today to live lives of excellence for your glory. I pray, Lord, for those of us who run businesses or are doing work, Lord, that the excellence of our work would be for your glory, Lord God. Father, for those of us who are in the corporate world, in Jesus' name, we just declare from this day forward, we will do excellent work, Lord God. We will be the ones that will go the extra mile, Lord, in order to show how good you are and how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father, for those of us who are studying and on campus or in our high schools, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we say that the work that we do will be excellent for your glory, Lord God. We will pursue your heart, and it may all the work that we do, Lord, be a reflection of our worship to you. Father, I even pray for those of us who are parenting, Lord God, at home. In Jesus' name, may our homes, Lord God, be homes of excellence for your glory, Lord, in the way that we parent. Even in the marriages that are represented in this room, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, for excellent marriages. Lord, may we carry the spirit of excellence well for your glory. I thank you, Lord, that you are marking every nation, Brisbane, to grow even more in the spirit of excellence. I call that out of every nation campus, Lord God. I call that out of every nation youth and all the young people in this room. I call that out of our parents, our singles in this room, our young professionals. In Jesus' name, you would call this church to walk out in excellence. For your glory, I thank you, Lord, much like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord, this is a generation that will represent you well in our Babylon, which is Brisbane, Lord God. Lord, may we reflect your glory, that we, whether it's a lion's den, whether it's a point of persecution, whether it's a fiery furnace, whatever we go through, that the Spirit of the excellent God would carry us through every trial and tribulation. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Can we give him praise, everybody? As you take your seat, you can take a seat right now.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.